As the transfer portal comes to a close, how did Auburn do?
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. Happy dadgum Monday. We got another week in the books, and it's time to kick a new one off. Last week was cold. Last week was miserable for the most part. So hopefully we start to get a little bit of turn in the weather. I don't think that's going to be the case, though. Auburn's portal season seems like it's probably come to a close. As classes start today, and we'll dive a little bit into that. But the biggest thing is I want to look at some of the bigger additions to the team, how impactful they're going to be, and then we'll talk about how Auburn utilizes this spring to sort of figure some things out, and then you can go into the spring portal to fill those final positions, final gaps in the depth chart. But before we do that, look, it's 2025. You need to be on thebarnauburn.com. We got $25 off for 2025. You can get an annual membership for only $25. I'm sorry, $75. You would have been able to take part in the portal mega thread. It ended up being somewhere in the neighborhood of, I'm looking at it right now, it was 386 pages, over 300,000 views. Just constant update of news. It's a lot of fun. You get to hear me on here every day, and you get to hear Zach and Zep and stuff like that, but you can come hang out with us in the at thebarnauburn.com every single day, all day. So check it out for sure, thebarnauburn.com. So, yes, classes start today. Your last day to add classes is on Friday, I believe, the 18th. I think that's how that works. So, virtually, it's not impossible, but it's basically, it makes it really tough if you're going to add anybody between now and Friday. And I guess if that perfect person really was out there that you really wanted to push it to add to the class, you could, but I don't know that guy's out there. I think Auburn's done for the winter portal. Anybody else added would be a surprise and a welcome surprise. Because, hey, anytime you add somebody, it's fun. But, yeah, classes start today. Similar to high school recruiting, the way that Auburn handled this portal class is they got guys in and they got them finished early. You know, in high school, you had the vast majority of your commitments done before the season even started. And Auburn did a lot of damage early, like within the first week as far as the portal goes. You got guys in. You got them visited, and most of them left either signed or signed the day after they left. And that's the way you got to do things in the portal. I love the way that we sort of self-evaluated how we worked the portal prior, and you completely change your strategy and you completely change the way you handle the portal in general. And then you execute that and you go and you see the success that you have from doing that. I think the self-scouting aspect of it, obviously a lot of that had to do with the addition of Will Redmond, but just overall, I think Auburn did a really good job just filling needs, the speed at which they work, the organization at which they work, and then boom, you got some big guys, some fun guys to watch next year. We're going to talk about several here in just a second. I kind of came up with a little crude list of, I guess, superlative awards. So when you're talking about best player, most important, most underrated, early impact, we'll go through those. And I think it'll be fun to talk about and just kind of remember, hey, who all's coming in, who all's here for spring that we're going to get to see at A-Day. We're going to get to hear going through workouts here in just a little bit, very quickly. We won't be able to blink and it'll be the first practices of spring. So a lot of fun here in a very short period of time. The best player, this is easy. The best player that Auburn added in the portal was Eric Singleton Jr. Look, at for the longest time before John Mateer finally, I guess, spoiled the worst surprise ever. He entered the portal late. Eric Singleton Jr. was the top player in the portal for the vast majority of the cycle. I think he ended at number three with Carson Beck, you know, his late addition here over this past weekend, which was a big story in and of itself. So you're talking about, I mean, however you want to look at it, number two, number three player, number one at times. I mean, you're talking about the best, one of the best players available, one of the very best players that anybody could get. Of all of the thousands of kids that entered the portal, Eric Singleton was at the top of the list, at the tops of the list. Usually, when you go back and look, those guys, those particular guys, have a huge hit rate. Okay, you're talking about guys like Jordan Addison, Jahmyr Gibbs, A.D. Mitchell, Walter Nolan, Julian Sayin, who probably is going to be maybe steps up and is the Ohio State starting quarterback next year. I mean, you're talking about guys that you feel good about are going to be a hit. They're going to work. It's going to work. They're going to be successful at their next school. And that in and of itself should get you excited. Another reason this should obviously get you excited is the production. Production and then everything that he brings to the table. Kid's just talented. I mean, he had 1,400 yards in 2 years, over 1,400 yards receiving in 2 years at Georgia Tech, his true freshman year, and then obviously his sophomore year, and he did it in big games. It's not like he just beat up on some scrubs. I think he had like a touchdown and 80-plus yards receiving against Georgia this year. Kid's going to play, man. Kid's going to be a player early. He's going to be one of those Swiss Army knives, and I feel like you really have an opportunity when you add him. You're talking about an elite. You're talking about one of the more elite wide receiver rooms in the country. I really do. I think you're talking about the potential to have one of the more elite wide receiver rooms in all the land, like Alabama level. You know, back in 2017, 18, whenever they were doing rock, paper, scissors for who's going to score the next touchdown. I mean, I really do think it has that type potential if you can, you know, get a few things figured out on the offense so you can actually get them the ball. Golly, they all complement each other so well too. Eric Singleton, you can put him anywhere on the field. There ain't nobody can cover. There's nobody that is going to be able to consistently lock him down. He's a matchup nightmare. Inside, outside, does not matter. His catch radius, even as a small guy, is incredible. Like, go look at his highlight film from this past year. Some of the catches he makes are just ridiculous for a smaller stature guy. He's a player. Auburn's lucky that they got him. He's one of the very few that took a bunch of visits, you know, left uncommitted. But Auburn, especially Kenyatta Watson, was really never not confident they were going to get that kid. So, best player overall, obviously it's easy to say, it's easy to pencil in Eric Singleton as the best player because he was just about, for Auburn's class, because he was just about the best player for the whole class. So, don't want to take that one lightly. It's a big, big addition. Shipping the most important aspect of what you had to add to me in the portal was you had to fix your offensive line. You absolutely had to fix some of the weaknesses. You had to fill some of the holes that were left. You didn't really lose a ton of people, but you had to fill the hole at left tackle. Okay. Percy Lewis went into the transfer portal. You saw him. I think he ended up signing with Ole Miss, which is funny to go from Mississippi State to Auburn to Ole Miss. But that whole experiment with Percy last year was a complete disaster, a complete failure. And I know that there's probably some reticence over getting fired up about another portal offensive lineman. Because, man, we just went through that. We just went through that where we thought we had the guy. We thought Percy Lewis was going to be the guy. And Understandably so. I mean, you had guys like the Jeff Nagy at the Senior Bowl talking about Auburn ending the drought of NFL offensive tackles going into the draft, like offensive tackles into the draft. You saw so much hype kind of built around Percy Lewis, and then he just busted. He didn't. I mean, there's no really good way to say it. He didn't do the things he needed to do while he was at Auburn. He didn't do the things he needed to do in the weight room. And then I don't know that he did what he needed to do in the playbook. Everything seemed like a communication issue with him. What's funny is we didn't want to talk about it early on, but you heard a lot about this in fall camp where they'd make changes on the offensive line, but it would never really get all the way down to Percy. Like, he couldn't quite figure that piece out. The whole checking and all that stuff, that part, it seemed like you had 4 out of 5 that were all on the same page, and Percy never got it. Percy was also like the 13th or 14th ranked offensive tackle in the portal. Xavier Chaplin, you're talking about number one, number two, depending on which site you look at that ranks transfer portal guys. An established, legitimate number one left tackle that's got a lot of snaps, has played a lot of games. Percy never really was a full-time starter. So it's a little bit easier to get fired up around this guy. Look, Auburn, I feel like, has had a decent offensive line. They've been able – Jake Thorne's done a really good job with who he's had to sort of salvage some things. But whenever you can't – and I think maybe this is why Auburn struggled in the red zone a little bit too. Whenever you can't, like – do things when the other offense, when the other defense knows you have to do them. For example, when you have to run the ball, you know, when it's third and short and you have to run the ball inside the red zone, or if it's third and 12 and you got to pass, when they know you got a pass block, when they know you got to run, when you can't keep them off balance, to me, that's when Auburn struggled the most. When Auburn had to try to throw their way back into a game, That to me seemed like when Auburn gave up most of their sacks. When Auburn got into the red zone and needed tough yardage, that seemed like when we struggled the most. People talk about play calling in the red zone. Well, you know, offensive line has a lot to do with that. You know, the how good they are and how well they can execute the plays that you need to execute to be good in the red zone. Hey, the field shrinks. There's not a lot of options. Sometimes you just got to be better than the guy across from you. And we just haven't been there from a talent perspective. Xavier Chaplin gives you that opportunity, at least on paper, to get better on the offensive line. So when you get in those situations, maybe you just got the dogs now that you can just run over somebody. You know, maybe you got the dogs now that are seasoned enough that can communicate well enough so that, you know, if you got to change a check out of a play or get into a different protection, everybody's kind of on the same page. You got a lot more experience. And I think just getting Dylan Wade to be able to move inside makes so much of a difference at the offensive line. He's a good tackle, but he's not a tackle. He's just not a tackle. He's not small. He's not long enough to really be an effective tackle in the SEC or at the next level. It's just so beneficial if he can slide inside and have a good left tackle out there beside him. I just think the most important player that Auburn could have added in this offseason. I never expected Auburn to be able to go sort of identify the top tackle target and then go get him. Like, that's just not something that Auburn people are used to, especially when it comes to offensive tackles over the last decade. Just the how Auburn, it seems it's a black hole for offensive tackles, and you've been able to identify, you got him here, and you got him signed. It was a lot of fun. And once we heard that name, hey, watch out, Auburn's getting him on campus. Boom, he gets on campus, and it's over. And he's already tweeting out, like, He seems pretty locked in. He's very locked into Auburn, already tweeting out, you know, pictures of Jordan-Hare Stadium, talking about how he's so beautiful, can't wait to play here. I think he's going to be a lot of fun. And what an addition. Very, very important addition, Xavier Chaplin. Underrated. Let's talk about underrated. Just because we add a guy late doesn't necessarily equate to what type of player they are. I think a lot of us, especially when you're into the portal and you're thinking about the way this thing works, is typically all the good guys go early. So if you're adding guys late, you're just sort of scraping the bottom of the barrel. You're just taking the whatever's left, basically. Chris Murray was one of the latest additions. Latest from a time span, not like, I mean, most recent. He may be the most recent. I can't remember who finished it up. But when you're talking about at the end of the cycle, Chris Murray was obviously towards the end of the cycle. So I think naturally you're thinking, oh, Auburn's just filling a hole, or Auburn's just, you know, getting a body because there's nothing good left. I think this kid's got a chance to be good. And we did a whole podcast. We've done several podcasts on him, but I think easily he's the most underrated player in this portal class. I mean, Auburn has had it's honestly amazing at this stretch they've had with transfer pass rushers from the lower level, bring them up to the SEC. I don't have to list them all, but, you know, obviously Jalen McLeod, Kieron Crawford, that's really, really good luck that you've had bringing pass rushers from lower conferences, being able to identify them and bring them up to be successful. I think this guy could be number three. I think he could be another one. He's got all the measurables. He's got the stats to back it up. I mean, depending on PFF had him with 8 sacks last year and, you know, 30 to 40 pressures. He's got the good burst off the line. And again, I really like length. To me is so invaluable at that position. And he's got length for days. You're talking long arms, just able to not let those big tackles engage him. He's able to, you know, manipulate himself, get around the end, and he's got the tools to do it. And he's also got the explosion, just the speed aspect. So probably not quite as fast as Crawford, but I think this kid can play. I don't want the timing of his commitment to diminish how good he could possibly be. So definitely my most underrated is Chris Murray. And then the most early impact. Look, people forget. I think people also forget about Dallas Walker Jr. Dallas Walker Jr. He could be the fourth or fifth too. I'm not 100% sure. I may have that incorrect. So let's just call him Dallas Walker. Let's just call him Dallas Walker. But look, Auburn needed someone in the middle. Auburn needed someone that could, you know, line up at right on top of the center, or just off the, you know, in the A gap, whatever. That true nose, that true defensive tackle, that true guy in the middle that in theory you're not really worried about making a ton of statistical moves. You're not worried about Auburn, you know, leading the team in tackles from that position. Although he did have 50 tackles from that position last season, that's just crazy to think that, you know, that position could have that much production, because they're honestly more about freeing up space for other guys to make plays. It's really kind of a not very glamorous position. And Auburn didn't really have that guy. They lost two, well, I guess multiple based off of guys graduating or going to the NFL. Didn't really have that guy. I think this guy's going to be your starter day one, like as soon as he gets here. And then you don't have a ton behind him that can really play that position. You got Bobby Travis, who's played it at points, but even him, I don't think he's more of a tweener defensive end than a true nose. Dallas Walker is your true plugger. That's what they call it, plugger, right in the middle. Just going to sit down and nobody can move him, and then he can be disruptive at the same time. I think he's going to make an early impact because of there's not really anybody there. And I think you got it. So you got a body and you got somebody that can play. So all in all, I think Auburn did a really good job filling needs. There's still a couple of pieces you probably wish you would have been able to add, but maybe for whatever reason, could it be the talent available, the situation? Those things didn't materialize. I can think off the top of my head, a little bit of an older linebacker, or maybe even another tight end. I think those are things that Auburn could look to the spring portal to add. And that's going to be a very much shorter time period. It's only going to be about 10 days, I think. But Auburn gets to go through spring now, and you got very near a full roster. There's going to be some attrition, I'm sure, once people sort of go through those 14, 15 days of workout and practice and find out where they fall on the depth chart. I'm sure there's going to be spring meetings, post-spring meetings, just like there were these post-season meetings with coaches to kind of find out where you stand. And I think that's where you'll see a little bit more attrition. And then Auburn's going to have to go grab whoever they lose, they're going to have to fill those spots. And I think there's still maybe two or three spots that you can bring in to really, really finish off this roster and get it in the right spot. So had a ton of success in spring. You can't rely on spring. And I think Auburn did the work so that they don't have to do that. It's not like you got to wait until spring opens so that you can, because you have to go get five or six guys. No, you really don't have to go get five or six guys. There's really only about, maybe two additions that you have to get out of spring. And, obviously I'm not including guys that leave because you'll obviously have to fill those roles too. But like, in other words, you're only maybe two spots away from a complete roster and you can get those in spring. And also there's something to be said for being the big dog at the table in spring. Because if we're being completely honest, in spring, what's going to be available is typically a lot of guys that aren't necessarily happy with how the depth chart worked out after spring. Okay, so you're getting guys that are not going to be, in theory, not going to be their top guy at the school they're leaving. Okay, unless you get a guy that decides late that he's going to go up a conference. Luckily, Kieron Crawford was available last year. He wanted to step up, go from the Sun Belt to the SEC. So typically, those are the guys that are left. So, in other words, it's not just the sharks sensing blood and the frenzy that it is the winter portal. There's something to being the big dog at the table there when maybe the competition from the top is not going to be quite as great. So Auburn will look to spring to finish things off, but right now you're set. Right now you're set, and now it's just, hey, let's get in those meetings. Let's start building this team. Let's start figuring out where everybody goes, how you're going to work everybody into the system, and then sort of get prepared for spring. You're already seeing some guys on social media throwing and doing some things together already, and we'll be able to, as time goes on and spring inches closer, we'll be able to know more and more about how things are going to start looking, how things are going to start shaking out. So I really appreciate you guys listening. Definitely go subscribe to The Barn, auburn.com. Rest in peace to the Portal Mega Thread. It was a blast. We'll fire that baby back up, and we'll probably do a new one so you don't have to wade through 382 pages, but or 386 or whatever it was, pages. I'll probably fire up a new one for spring, but it's going to be a ton of fun. So, guys, thanks for listening. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. You can follow me on Twitter at @_Charlie_5. You know we're going to be back every single daggum day. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.